Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday, ready for another wild and unpredictable NFL weekend. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It was last weekend hard to top, almost impossible to duplicate. There'll be half the games. Hopefully, it won't just be half the excitement because I was exhausted after last weekend. I needed a week to recover from those games. Joy Taylor is joining me.
Oh, we're in the home stretch.
We are.
It's kind of crazy to think it's almost the end of the football season. It went fast this year.
It did. That's because it was good.
Yes.
Good vacations go fast. Good vacations go fast. You know, I didn't get caught up too much into it yesterday, but there was a lot of debate over Jimmy Garoppolo and how good he is, and some people criticizing him, some people defending him. What I'm about to say, I don't know if women think about it like this, but I can just say this is how I think about it. If I vacation with very few people. Very few people I'm willing to go somewhere with for 4 or 5 days. And it really comes down to, are you a good hang? Are you needy? Is it all about you? Are you secure in yourself? Can I hang out with you for 5 days? Because you know Uncle Colin's picking up the check. Can I hang with you? Are you tedious? And here's what I would say about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I've heard this from people in the building. He's a good hang. He's a good hang. Years ago, I used to work with somebody who played with Aaron Rodgers. He was asked once about him privately, and he said, great talent, bad hang. Forget the fact that since Jimmy arrived, when he starts games for the Niners, they're 35-15. And when he doesn't, the other Niner quarterbacks are 7-19. And when they lose, they often get rolled. But he reminds me of those Marvel movies. I know they're not great cinema. I know they won't win Oscars. And I know the critics and Hollywood's elite snub their nose at Marvel movies. But they always make me feel good when I walk out of the theater. They make old people like me feel young, go back to your childhood and comic books, and they make young people laugh. How do they make you feel? I know that Nomadland is what the real artist community embraced, but it was sad and depressing. People pooping in buckets. I didn't leave the theater in a good mood. Jimmy G makes people feel good. He's a guy's guy. Think about this. Tom Brady has had 20 quarterbacks in his career backing him up. Only one he wanted out of the building. Garoppolo made Tom Brady a little insecure. He's a guy's guy. People like him. Dudes like him. George Kittle was talking about him this week, and he talked about Jimmy G.
He's been incredible. He's been fantastic every single day this year, you know, as a leader, as a quarterback, as a captain on this team. He's, like I said, he shows up, he's consistent every single day. He leads his team. He doesn't worry about the outside world. All he does is worry about, you know, his job is playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
He doesn't worry about the outside world. Aaron Rodgers is obsessed about it. Obsessed how he's being treated. Jimmy doesn't care, man. Jimmy's good looking. Jimmy's cool. Jimmy wins. Jimmy's rich. He's a guy's guy. And the analytic people often forget this. There's a feel to football. It can't just be about your arm and your talent. If so, then Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be 11-10, and he wouldn't keep losing games at home as a favorite to inferior quarterbacks. Aaron got tight and dink and dunk. He's not a good hang. He's not. Jimmy Garoppolo's fun to be around. He makes you feel better in crisis. I've said this about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Man, he shrinks. Derek Carr is a good quarterback. He doesn't. Derek Carr's got limitations. I never feel like he shrinks in a big spot. Kirk Cousins has limitations. I feel like he shrinks all the time. I don't know if Jimmy G wins this weekend. I don't know. But there is something about this game that's amazing. There is a feel to it. Sean McVay talks about Matt Stafford all the time. It's not about his arm. It's not about his experience. He said he's just got an emotional intelligence about him. It's called the feel. You know, Nick Wright was on earlier this week talking about Patrick Mahomes and how he smiles at the end of games and how his heart rate goes up when he's on the sidelines, not in the game. Analytics can't tell you about that. How are you in crisis? How do your teammates relate to you? And I've said this about Jimmy G. He's a foxhole guy. He's a baller. Aaron's more talented, but you wouldn't trust him in crisis. He wouldn't trust you, and he's a Baylor. So there's got to be something to this game beyond just, wow, he's big, he's strong. There is a feel to it. And Jimmy is absolutely limited. But I watched him out-duel Joe Burrow down the stretch this year and Matt Stafford in the second half this year and Kyler Murray in a big spot this year and Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. And I know analytically he's a dud. But there's not a feel to it when you go to Vegas with the guys. If there was no feel to it, you just take the guys with the most money that would buy all the stuff. But when you're picking guys to go within a camping trip, or you're picking guys to go whitewater rafting with, or picking guys to go to Vegas with, or going down to Miami with, you're trying to get guys that are kind of fun to be around. They're not needy. They're not obsessed with crap. You can just kind of hang, and they don't get offended by stuff. And, you know, if they may drink a little too much, you got to reel them in. But if you screw up, they'll be there for you. Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers are literally the opposite guy. Who's playing this week and who's not? Feel matters. So Troy Aikman was talking on a podcast, media podcast, about Joe Burrow. And Troy Aikman works at our network, and Joe Burrow doesn't. And he's not going to work on TV for a long time. He's going to win in football games. And Troy Aikman talked about it.
Obviously a great player. But what I love is he's got the edge to him. He's got this competitive edge and confidence that I think is important in order to be the quarterback that you need to be in order to win it all. I love the way he answers the questions, but I have loved watching him play and his game.
And once again, it's the intangibles, not the tangibles. There's a lot he loves about him. Here's where Joe Burrow is bad for some people in football. He's bad for Tua. He's bad for Justin Fields. He's bad for Daniel Jones. Because when you're able to overcome all these obstacles, great creates clarity. Bengals have the cheapest owners in the league. It's a tough division. Zach Taylor was 6-25-1 before he got there. He's got a bad O-line. He's coming off a brutal injury. Here we are, year two, AFC Championship. That creates clarity for Daniel Jones. Well, you know, Daniel Jones, if I have to hear this again, well, you know, the Giants didn't do everything they could. Win games, I'm over it. Year three, get better. I don't want to hear about it. Well, I mean, Tua has had this quarterback win more games, be better in crisis. Jalen Hurts, next year's year three. You got to the playoffs. I want more improvement. Justin Fields, year two. Don't want to hear about it. Trevor Lawrence, get better. Zach Wilson, year two. Win more games. Cincinnati has been a mess. They were a mess 20 years ago. They were a mess 10 years ago. Mostly, they were a mess the day before he arrived. Obstacles everywhere. Now, I mean, Justin Herbert was really good day one, too, but the Chargers have a good roster. They had to fix their offensive line, but they have a good roster. They'd have recent success with Phillip Rivers. I mean, Cincinnati was just a mess. All these obstacles, ownership issues, didn't know if the coach could coach, bad offensive line, Steelers and the Ravens in division, the Browns roster in division, year two, AFC Championship. That is not good news for Zach Wilson. It may not be good news for Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. It's not great for Tua or Jalen Hurts. Win, now, not interested. I'm not interested in hearing about Daniel Jones' struggles. It's the NFC East. It stinks. You got enough good players. You got Kenny Golladay and Darius Slayton. And you went and spent a lot of money on Adoree Jackson. You got Leonard Williams. Saquon Barkley's not what he used to be. You got Evan Ingram. You got enough guys. Go win. Bad division. I don't want to hear it. I mean, Joe Burrow's getting sacked 9 times on the road for a franchise that has not had a lot of big road playoff wins, like, I don't know, ever. He pulled it out. So that's where Justin Fields. And even Carson Palmer, as great as he is in Cincinnati, said, okay, I give up. I got to get out of here. I just can't. That's where guys like Joe Burrow, Sean McVay did the same thing. When Sean McVay put a lot of pressure on other coaches, he walked into the league. They literally could not get first downs with Jared Goff. Jeff Fisher out, Jared Goff in, and Jared Goff is out-dueling like, you know, Mahomes on Monday Night Football. Year later, playoffs. What? That puts you on the clock as a coach. Nobody wants to hear the excuses. Year two, coach, win games. Year two, quarterback, win games. That's where he's bad for football. The rest, he's great for it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I think Mike McCarthy's a little bit of a con. Nothing against him, but you ever, when you had a book report, not really read the book, you read the Cliff Notes, and then you stood up in front of the class and you tried to BS everybody that you read the book, but you only read the Cliff Notes, and you're trying to kind of like, well, then he went over there and did that, and she did that in the book, and then they all survived. And all you really did was the Cliff Notes. You didn't really read the book. I kind of feel like Andy Reid, Sean Payton, the really smart guys, they read the book. Bill Belichick, good with details. And I kind of feel like Mike McCarthy's kind of making crap up. You know, he read the Cliff Notes, knows enough to get at least a C. But Mike McCarthy was talking about that quarterback draw. Remember when he said this right after all of us, the avalanche of dismay over how the Cowboys season ended, 14 seconds, no timeouts. Friend, the ally to a coach would be the sidelines. They do a quarterback draw up the middle. There's confusion where the ball is. And Mike McCarthy doubled down the next day that it was the right way to do it.
The center can spot the ball. The receiver can spot the ball. So the fact that, you know, the opinion of you can't spot the ball is not correct. So the center can spot the ball. Our guys are trained to spot the ball exactly how the referee spots the ball. You put the tip on the inside edge of the hash. You know, obviously the umpire has to come in. All he has to do is touch it.
Okay. Sean Payton, who when he came to the Saints, his first 7 or 8 years in the league, he was number one in offense, number one, number one, number four, number two, number one, number one. Here's what he says about that late-game Cowboy situation.
They're trying to get in touchdown range, and they ran a draw. We typically would throw a pass and down. Ultimately, I think two more steps for Dak. He's got to slide a little quicker. He's up. Ball has to go to the umpire, then let's go. We can never hand the ball to the center.
Mm-hmm. Who do you believe? One guy read the book. One guy read the Cliff Notes. Jerry Jones doubled down today. We're keeping Mike McCarthy. All right, but there'll be no more Super Bowls. Because I watched football last weekend. Four situational walk-offs. Like, situational football was everything last weekend. It's everything, every divisional round. And every conference championship weekend. And the Rams and Niners is going to be close. And Kansas City and Cincinnati is probably going to be close. And all four games last week were close. And so those seconds count. Mike McCarthy's just making stuff up. He got the Cliff Notes. He's got some information. He's already admitted that he just made crap up to get the job. His words, not mine. A lot of Cliff Notes going on with the Cowboys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So it looks like the very latest on the Raiders is Josh McDaniels. It's the number two. He's the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. He is going to get the Raiders job, and he's going to bring an executive with the Patriots with him. And this is interesting. First of all, he's an offensive coach. I'm a big fan of that. But we now have seven failures, documented failures, of great assistance from Belichick going to the NFL and trying to be a head coach. There are currently zero Belichick assistants that are currently head coaches in the league. Mike Vrabel doesn't count. He was a player, not a coach for him. Bill O'Brien is the one success, and he's currently out of work in the NFL. Why? Because he tried to do a power play and become the general manager. Sort of like Brian Flores, tried to do a power play. Sort of like Josh McDaniels in Denver, tried to do a power play. I've seen this over and over again, and this goes back to one of my theories, is that proximity to genius doesn't equal genius. If I work for 5 or 6 years next to literally a genius, and then I leave, I don't get to take his IQ with me. But if I work for 7 or 8 years with a great mentor or teacher, Andy Reid, and I leave, I can take a lot of those gifts with me. And I'm not saying Andy's less intelligent than Belichick, although Bill is, you know, mom spoke 7 languages, pretty bright dude. But there is a reason where Andy Reid's guys either succeed, or even if they don't, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, Matt Nagy to the playoffs. It's often a toxic relationship. GM, coach, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy are absolutely good enough to coach. One got to the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky. One won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Those are the, quote, failures. There's a lot of success with Andy Reid's coaching tree, Mike Holmgren's coaching tree. You notice that? Like teachers. Andy Reid's a teacher. Bill's just super smart. And if you look at the New England choices, generally they lack interpersonal skills. They're not great communicators. And what they do is they come into an organization, and I just have proof over and over and over again, they come into an organization and they kind of have Bill's chip and Bill's rigidity without the resume. And it's not great. So Josh McDaniels, not saying he wouldn't work. I think that offense, those pieces, Derek Carr, Hunter Renfro, Josh Jacobs, Colton Miller, Darren Waller, it's a lot of nice pieces there. But this goes back to something I've said before. Proximity to genius, you can't take it with you. If you work with a super, you can work with Elon Musk. I could work with Elon Musk for 20 years. The minute I leave the building, I can't take any Elon Musk. I don't have his brains. But if I work with somebody who maybe isn't as smart, but he's a great mentor and as a patient teacher, I can take a lot of that stuff. And we'll see. It's beyond a trend now. Like, I've got multiple, but Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, a lot of power plays, Brian Flores, a lot of rigidity, Joe Judge, my way. I mean, Joe Judge had guys running around the track like a high school coach. It keeps failing over and over and over. I'm not so sure the interim guy that they have right now isn't the guy. I don't know, but I don't want to hear that interim guys don't work. I showed you last week and the week before. There's a bunch of bums that were interim coaches and a lot of winners. Marty Schottenheimer was an interim coach. You can go down the list of a lot of successful interim coaches. Then there's guys like Mike Tyson, Wayne Fonts, who weren't great, weren't terrible. They were 500. Wayne Fonts was 500 for the Lions. That feels like success.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Peter King, who's not crazy, joining us. Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com. You know, it's funny. Tom Brady said yesterday or Monday on the Jim Gray podcast, he said, you know, I'm satisfied with the year. And he went into these talks, and I thought, boy, when's the last time Tom said that with a home playoff loss? He was satisfied with the year. And I said this earlier this week. I did notice something post-Thanksgiving, Peter, that was interesting. Multiple times, Tom said things like, everybody's got to be responsible for themselves. We really have to be focused. It's really important that we're buttoned up. And he did it multiple times. And when I watched them play against the Rams, they were out of sorts in that first half. They did not feel ready to play. And I know Bruce Arians has always been kind of a loose guy, but there's something here that feels a little different than the ending of previous Brady seasons. That's my interpretation. How's it land for you?
Well, I mean, I've always thought this, and this is nothing that anybody has told me. It's just always that, look, one of the things that Tom Brady loved about Tampa is that it wasn't New England. You know, it wasn't always like, you know, you do one wrong thing and you're in detention. But there's also the part of Tampa that, you know, let's be honest with you. In New England, Tom Brady always knew there was an adult in the room.
Yeah.
You know, in Belichick. And in Tampa, it's just a looser ship.
Yep.
And so part of that is great for Brady, you know, that you don't really feel the pressure and the real tight reins around you. But on the other hand, sometimes I think he misses that. I think he misses, you know, the fact that there is one guy who is absolutely in control of everything.
Yes.
And I think you saw late last year and, you know, where Brady got a little bit more involved in the offense, a little bit more involved in sort of the organization of things. And so that might be what you're seeing, Colin, and it wouldn't surprise me if that is a part of his decision. But I honestly think that the biggest part of his decision is going to be his family.
Yeah.
And I think part of this is that he wants to see a month or so from now how much he misses it.
Yeah.
And whether he does miss it.
Yeah.
And if he really, really misses it, I think he'll play again. I do not think that he has made up his mind about whether he's coming back. Absolutely. All these people looking for the reading of the tea leaves, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I know him a little bit. I don't know him well. But in my opinion, he's using the next 6 or so weeks to really figure out whether this is the best thing for him and his family.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's made up his mind. Listen, Aaron Rodgers has talked retirement in August, retirement in December. He brought it up about a week ago. You know, the old saying in the NFL, you start talking about it. Sean Payton started talking about it a year ago. It's around the corner. I don't know what he's going to do. Don't know him well enough. It was a weird year. I thought he got tight and safe in that playoff game. Now the Broncos hire one of his best friends. If I said to you, start of the season, where is he? I mean, I will say there's a lot of noise, Peter, and there's usually something with noise. there's too many signals out here that the harmony is never perfect in Green Bay. What's your guess happens?
I mean, all it is, Colin, is a guess, and I want to underline that in very bold Sharpie, okay? But my guess is that he's playing for Denver at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And look, you know, Denver has everything that Aaron Rodgers needs right now. Denver has cap room. They've got a coach who's going to cater to what he does best. They've got a very good left tackle, and they're going to have weapons on offense, even if they have to trade one of the weapons to Green Bay in order to get him. They also have the draft capital. You know, if they want to trade, if Green Bay wants, let's say, 2 ones and a really good player, or maybe even 3 ones and a really good player, Denver can do that without denuding the future.
Yeah.
As long as Aaron Rodgers assures them that you're going to give us 3 years. If he does that, I'd give 3 ones and let's say Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe you do, you know, a tag and trade deal for Devontae Adams, although that might be asking a little bit too much.
No, I think that's very reasonable. I'll say this, Josh McDaniels, we got 2.5 minutes left. Josh McDaniels, Raider rumors. I've got 7 failures leaving Belichick. Andy Reid and Mike Holmgren, more mentory, teachery, as offensive guys have a better coaching tree. Belichick's isn't so grand. I don't know how I feel about this. I got to be honest with you. I thought the interim guy did a good job. How do you feel if Josh McDaniels?
I did too.
Yeah, I thought the players played well situationally. I don't know. What's your gut feeling on this?
The interim guy did a great job, but when Mike Mayock got whacked, the interim guy was probably not going to keep the job.
Yeah.
And I think part of Mark Davis says, give me New England West. Give me Dave Ziegler, the general manager, and give me Josh McDaniels, who's been around Belichick for 100 years, and I'll take my chances. There's no perfect guy. I don't think he wants a Harbaugh. There's no perfect guy out there. And so this is his chance to have the second shot at a guy who 10 years ago screwed it up in Denver,
yeah,
has learned a lot since then. It makes a lot of sense to me, Colin. My gut feeling is it'll happen, is that it will happen, rather, but there is, it's definitely not a lock right now.
Yeah, okay. Peter King, NBCSports.com. Great stuff. I like his. I feel the same way about Denver as you do. That's exactly how I feel. I would give you two firsts and a great player, maybe a second. If Aaron gives me 3 years in the contract, then I'll give you three firsts. I'll give you a first for every year he stays. But no, I think your proposition, by the
he's
way.
He's got to give you the assurances, Colin.
Yes.
He's got to give you the assurances that he's not going to wake up on March 1 of 23 and say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
He can't do that or else it's a disaster.
Yep. Great seeing you, Peter. Thank you so much on a Friday.
Thanks, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I want to give you my NFL picks for the weekend. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start Kansas City hosting
Bengals at Chiefs.
Okay, so Kansas City's offense is always good. They had a little slump for about six games mid-season, but they are humming now. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes is 8-2 in the playoffs. He's 0-2 against Brady. He's 8-0 against everybody else. The Chiefs' offense in the playoffs has averaged 42 points this year and 144 yards rushing. So it's balanced and it's humming. They have the best third down offense in football, so they can run it, they can throw it, they can move. They're situational. And here's where I worry about Cincinnati. As good as Burrow is, they have one touchdown in their last 18 drives, and he was sacked 9 times. Spags is going to bring heat. That's what he does. I like Kansas City in this game. I initially thought it could be a blowout, but the Bengals tend to play good against good teams. You know, they played very good against the Niners, very good against the Packers. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win 33-27 around a touchdown. Rams.
49ers at Rams.
Right now, the Rams defense, this Von Miller acquisition has really started to pay dividends. Aaron Donald, as he's gotten older, may not be as dominating week to week in the regular season as he's been, but in the postseason, Aaron Donald has flipped a switch and he is again unblockable. They, the defense, is allowing 13% on third down. Opponents are 3-for-24 on third down. And San Francisco's been struggling on third down offensively. So points are going to be hard to come by right now. The Rams defense is the best rushing defense so far in the playoffs. Tampa could not run on them. And if they get a lead, which they did the last time they played San Francisco, you're not going to be able to worry about. You're going to have to abandon the run game. So I do feel like San Francisco is going to be a fairly limited offense in this game. Last week, the Niners won, but it was a season-low 212 yards of offense. The Niners' offense is averaging 18 points so far in the postseason, scoring 2 total offensive touchdowns. I just think points are going to be really hard to come by for San Francisco. I'm going to take the Rams. It's going to be close, 28-27. I think the Niners have some field goals. I think the Rams are more dynamic, but I do think what keeps the game close, San Francisco, Fred Warner, Bosa, Armstead really have given the Rams offense trouble. So they're going to have to throw the football to score here. I'm going to take the Rams to win it, but it's close. If you're a betting person, of the two games this weekend, this is the one I like more, San Francisco and the points. That's how it falls for me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Tom Brady has this podcast thing he does with Jim Gray. And I've said before, I think this is the strongest indication he could leave. I don't think it's a great time to leave because the NFC is kind of a mess at quarterback. There's like 10 of the 16 teams in the NFC are unsettled or bad at quarterback or limited like a Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan. So I think it's the time to stay if you're him, but he's talking family. Talk to Jim Gray. Here's what he said.
I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year. So I know when I give it my all, that's something to be proud of. And I've literally given everything I had this year, last year, the year before that, the year before that. Like, I don't leave anything half-assed, you know? I think I leave it with everything that I have.
First of all, Bruce Arians and Brady, we've seen it publicly. It can be a little chippy, a little rocky, a little one-sided. I think those two need a buffer. The buffer's Byron Leftwich. He's now going to leave. Second thing is, it would be kind of a perfect time for Brady to leave because he's in the MVP conversation, so it would be very good for his legacy and also good for the TB12 brand. Wellness. He left on top. He wasn't a dog. He wasn't beat up. He wasn't limping. You know, he's got a Superman quality. It's good for his wellness brand. He left at the top. He was very good. The other thing is Tampa would plummet if he leaves because they don't have a quarterback, even in that lousy division, and that would be good for his legacy and his brand. It would make him look like he was the reason in Tampa they won, not the coach. We already know he was a big part of the reason they won in New England, not the coach. So it would be good for Brady's legacy if the Patriots and the Bucs don't have a great quarterback the minute he leaves. It makes Tom's legacy even greater and more profound. I will go back to something, and this is something I think we all can relate to. I tend to be intense. I tend to be somebody that likes structure. I really like structure. I wake up in the morning, I like to do things and have things done. Just my personality. My wife's more the artist. She makes it up as she goes. It works. The yin and the yang work on vacation, but day to day, I like lists. I like things to do. Tom is a structure nut. Belichick is a structure guy. Arians is not. Not as much. And I do think there was a lot of subtle messages by Brady post-Thanksgiving. Focus. We're not focused. People have to be accountable for their job. Then you throw in Crazy Town AB doing his stuff. And I just think it got loose. And I think that frustrates Tom. And Tom's thinking to himself, well, what's going to change? I lost my buffer. Gronk could leave. Bruce is not at his age going to get run a tighter ship. And I do think there's part of Brady, and Peter King said this earlier, and I agree with him.
In New England, Tom Brady always knew there was an adult in the room, you know, in Belichick. And in Tampa, it's just a looser ship. And so part of that is great for Brady, you know, that you don't really feel the pressure and the real tight reins around you. But on the other hand, sometimes I think he misses that. I think he misses, you know, the fact that there is one guy who is absolutely in control of everything.
And I would say this, is that how many of you are watching, man or a woman, that you are somebody that likes structure and your brother or sister doesn't, and they drive you nuts? And you like them in small doses, but your brother or your sister are not. My sister tends to be very much habit as well, so we get along. But there's a lot of families where, you know, the sister is really into structure and the brother isn't, and she just in small doses can handle it. He drives her nuts. And so I think in small doses, Brady and Arians, when they have a buffer, I think it works. But I can see Tom being over it really fast. And when he kept saying post-Thanksgiving, everybody's got to be responsible and focused and locked in, he was telling you that people weren't on this team. And so he's telling the coach, lock this thing down. It's not tight enough. And I think Tom's a real creature of habit. I think he feeds off it. And I think, you know, it's like anything else. It's, you know, when people get divorced after 20 years of marriage, there's a reason you were married for 20 years. There was something about the person. I never understand when people get divorced after 25 years and they badmouth the other person. Well, you were together 25 years. Something had to work. And a lot of times people go the other way. The pendulum swings. And you're like, I don't want any of that. I'm going to go over here. And I met this woman. She was very structured. I want to go get party girl. And after about 3 years of the party girl showing up late at home, not as good a parent, you're like, I miss that. So you were in something for a long time for a reason. And, you know, I used to work in local news, and I used to say this. This was always the way local news worked. You'd get a kind of a rough, loud, domineering news director. You know, and he was just a firebrand. And then he worked. The ratings were good. And they would wear people out. And I saw this like three or four times. And then the next guy you hire is the opposite of that guy. He's a cupcake and a marshmallow, and everybody likes him. And I'm like, no, you hired that guy, and we were number one because it worked. He just wore people out. So don't go the opposite of him. Go to somebody that's a little more gentle but has his same qualities or her same qualities. So a lot of – I think there's a part of Brady – and it worked, obviously. They won a Super Bowl. He kind of went and found the opposite of New England. Well, I think a lot of what worked for Tom in New England is that structure and that intensity and those crappy winters where you might as well stay and look at film because it's crappy outside. And Tampa is almost, in this league, the opposite of New England. I mean, there's 51 universities. I've lived in Connecticut. I've been to Boston plenty of times. It's very academic and very intense and very competitive. The talk radio is angry. It's very judgmental. It's also very principled on its academics and its family and its values. And it's a really interesting place. But I would say New England is intense. The old saying is fences make good neighbors. People are covert. They're private. They're intense. They've got families. There's 51 boarding schools, 51 universities in the Boston metro area. I lived in Tampa. It's the opposite. It's beach volleyball. It's a crazy town. You can always tell about a city by what they lead the news with. Tampa was the strangest place I've ever lived in my life. It's older. It's laid back. Some people move there to chill out. It's sailing. It's in Tom's intensity. How does it play? Short-term, intense people love a vacation. But if you're an intense person, let me ask you, when you go on a vacation, that last day, all you can think about is, I got to catch up. I got to get up on emails. I got to get my things back. And it takes you about 2 days to get into vacation mode. I got this stuff. I got to make sure I get it right. And your 7 days, about four and a half of them are vacation. But going in and coming out, it's on your mind because that's who you are. That's your genetic makeup. And so I think short term, Tampa Tom can work. But I do sense that he misses the structure of New England. I think he's great. I think Belichick and him have so many similarities from a professional career. They may not be guys going to dinner, but there's a lot of similarities with those two guys. And I've always said Aaron Rodgers has never felt like Green Bay to me. Aaron Rodgers feels like the quarterback for the LA Rams. A little loose, a little cocky, good looking. Football's important, but he likes to golf on the weekends. There are certain people, they can make it work. It doesn't necessarily feel perfect. I think Tom in New England really felt perfect for a long time.